So here's a question that's been on everyone's mind in medicine lately. When we give doctors an AI tool, does it actually make them better at their job? Not just faster, actually better? And that's exactly what researchers wanted to find out in a new study published just this week in NPJ Digital Medicine. They looked at whether machine learning could help surgical oncologists make better decisions about colorectal cancer that spread to the liver. And honestly, the results are pretty interesting. Let me set the stage first. Colorectal liver metastases, or CRLM for short, is when cancer from the colon spreads to the liver. It's a serious diagnosis, and figuring out who will do well and who won't is genuinely hard. Surgeons need to predict things like whether the cancer will come back, how long patients will survive, and what kind of follow-up care makes sense. These decisions drive everything: whether to operate, what kind of treatment to pursue, how to counsel patients about their future. The team created a machine learning model trained to predict outcomes in these patients. Then they did something really smart. They ran a randomized controlled trial where surgical oncologists at multiple institutions made clinical assessments with and without the AI tool's help. We're talking real clinicians, junior surgeons, mid-level folks, and senior experts, all looking at the same cases and making the same kinds of predictions surgeons make every day. So what did they find? Let's start with the headline number. With the AI model assisting them, clinicians significantly improved their ability to predict 3-year mortality. We're talking an improvement in the AUC. That's the area under the curve, the standard way we measure diagnostic accuracy of about 0.091. Now, that might not sound huge, but in medical prediction, that's meaningful. And it held up across the board. Whether we're talking about predicting recurrence or mortality at different time points, the model assistance improved accuracy across pretty much every metric they looked at. But here's where it gets really interesting. And this is the kind of detail that tells you something important about how AI actually works in practice. The benefit wasn't uniform. Junior and mid-level surgeons, they saw the biggest gains. These are the folks with less experience, less pattern recognition built up over thousands of cases. For them, the model was like having a senior partner looking over their shoulder, pointing out what matters. Senior surgeons with already really high baseline accuracy, they improved too, but modestly. Their experience was already doing a lot of the work. Now let's talk about efficiency and confidence, because this is the part that clinicians actually care about. Decision-making time dropped from about 3 minutes to 2.5 minutes per case. That's meaningful when you're managing a busy surgical practice. But more striking than the time savings was the change in confidence. Without the model, only about 6% of clinicians said they felt extremely high confidence in their assessments. With the model, that jumped to 52%. 5%. That's a massive shift. And that matters because clinicians who are confident are more decisive. And decisiveness matters for patient care. There's also something elegant about what happened to agreement between different readers. When you've got multiple surgeons looking at the same case, you usually get some variation in their assessments. That's just human variability. But with the model's help, that disagreement shrunk. Inter-reader agreement improved by anywhere from about 3% to 18%, depending on what they were assessing. The biggest improvement was in follow-up timing, 18%, and in 5-year mortality predictions at 17.3%. So the model didn't just help individual clinicians. It helped align everyone towards similar conclusions. One more detail that's clinically important. Sensitivity improved consistently across the board. That means the tool got better at catching high-risk patients, the ones who really need aggressive treatment or close follow-up. Specificity stayed about the same, though. So this isn't a tool that makes everyone look sicker. It specifically gets better at identifying who's actually at highest risk. Now, all of this sounds pretty good, right? And honestly, it is. But, and this is a big but, This was a controlled research study. The clinicians knew they were being studied. The cases were probably presented in a standardized way. Real clinical practice is messier. There are distractions, time pressures, and the cases come with all kinds of contextual information that might change how you interpret an AI prediction. The authors are actually pretty honest about this limitation. They point out something that I think is really important. Showing that an AI tool improves performance in a controlled study doesn't automatically mean it'll improve outcomes when you implement it in a real hospital. You need a different kind of study for that. Prospective implementation studies where you actually measure whether patients do better. Better survival? Fewer recurrences? Better quality of life? Those are the outcomes that matter to patients, and we haven't seen those data yet. That said, there's a logic here that makes sense. If we get better at identifying high-risk patients, we can treat them more aggressively. If we get faster at making decisions, we reduce delays in care. If we get more consistent recommendations, we reduce variation and potentially reduce harm. Those should lead to better outcomes. But we need the data to prove it. I also think it's worth noting who benefited most. The junior surgeons gaining the most from AI, that actually raises an interesting point about how we could deploy this. In places where you have fewer experienced surgeons or where training is stretched thin, this kind of tool could meaningfully level the playing field. A junior surgeon in a resource-limited setting could potentially perform closer to a senior surgeon's level with this kind of assistance. But there's also something we need to be careful about, and I don't think the paper gets into this much. The risk of over-reliance. When clinicians see an AI prediction and it improves their confidence that much, from 6% to 52%, 5%, we need to make sure they're not just trusting the tool. They need to understand where it might be wrong, what assumptions it's making, what kinds of patients it might struggle with. That's the difference between using AI as a tool to augment your thinking and using it as a shortcut to avoid thinking. The second one can be dangerous. The other thing worth considering, this is a pretty specific problem, predicting outcomes in colorectal liver metastases. These results might not generalize to other cancers, other types of clinical decisions, or other patient populations. That's fine. It's still valuable. But it's something to keep in mind. So here's what I take away from this paper. First, the core finding is solid. A well-designed ML model can genuinely improve clinician performance at a specific, important task. That's not trivial. Second, the benefit isn't just about accuracy. It's also about speed, confidence, and consistency. Those operational improvements matter. Third, not all clinicians benefit equally, which tells us something about where this technology might have the biggest impact, with less experienced providers. But we're not at the finish line yet. The next step, and this is what the authors are calling for, is implementation studies. We need to see whether these improvements in controlled conditions actually translate to better patient outcomes in real-world practice. That's the hard part. And it's the part that will actually determine whether this tool gets adopted widely or sits on a shelf. If you work in surgical oncology, this is definitely worth reading. The methodology is solid, it's an RCT, and the findings are clinically intuitive. If you're interested in AI in healthcare more broadly, this is also a good case study in what works, what needs to happen next, and what questions remain unanswered. So check it out in NPJ Digital Medicine, and I think you'll find it's a pretty thoughtful treatment of how to actually evaluate AI in clinical practice.